Bruchim Abayim to the fifth in the continuing series of Shi'urim on the Netziv's commentary on the Chumash Ha'omad Dovah. In the previous Shi'ur, previous lecture, we discussed the Netziv's understanding of what I would say is the natural content of man's spirituality. Meaning that in the Pasuk, in Bereshis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin, when it says, Vayipach ba'apap nishmas chayim, that a Kodesh Baruch, well, let's begin from the beginning of the Pasuk, Vayitza Hashem Elokim es ha'odom ofa min adama, when God forms, Hashem Elokim forms Adam, man, ofa min adama, dirt from the ground, Vayipach ba'apod nishmas chayim, and he blows in his nostrils the breath of life. Vayia adam nefesh chayim, man becomes a living creature, and then it somehow carves for himself a interpretation, perhaps midway between that of Chazal, which understand that man is acquiring at this point what we would say is a tzelem Elokim, right? Certainly an intellectual apprehension of God, and between that of the Ramban and the Sforno, who understand that man at this point becomes literally a living creature, an animal. And then Zip says, no, Zip says that the Torah has expressed man's apprehension, man's understanding and his connection with the source of his life, the source of his creation, as in very, very natural terms, right? And therefore, the language nefesh chaya is not really just a living creature, but a creature that it has achieved its biological completion, its natural completion and perfection, that of perfection. And that's what the Netziv said. The Netziv says, just like an animal is called a nefesh chaya because it achieves its highest level of biological perfection, right? A person is also called chai, but in a different sense, right? A biological, an animal achieves its level of perfection because it can move, it can eat, it can fend for itself. But a person is called chai only in when it reaches state. But oifin shenefesh simply gamken shalom imoy, that he has an intellect, a cognition, right? And therefore, va'adam yisrael shenaitzel yis by nefesh yisrael malkish ba'avodas Hashem. And therefore, he feels he has a intuitive connection with serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in other words, the Tziv understood that man's spirituality is in fact actually a natural state of biological perfection. And we spoke about that in detail last time. Now, what we're going to do today is continue with the creation of man and man in Gan Eden. Because the next pasuk after that, pasuk has, says explicitly that Yita Hashem Elokim Gan Be'Eden Mikedem, because Baruch Hu plants a Gan in Eden, right, from the east, eastward. Vayosem Sham Es Ha'Odom Asher Yotzah, and he places man, their man which has formed. This is not a very good English translation. It's almost a paraphrasing of the pasuk. And then the pasuk says, Vayatzmach Hashem Elokim Min Ha'Adom Kol Eitz Nechva Domarev Atev Lamachal, Kodesh Baruch Hu causes to sprout from the earth all different types of trees, nechbad lamare, they're pleasant to behold, I guess to see, to apprehend, v'toyv lamachal, and good to eat, v'eitz ha'chaim v'sechagan, v'eitz ha'daz toyv ra. And the Pasuk mentions that Kodesh Baruch Hu caused to sprout from the ground, it's ha'chaim and it's ha'daz. Now, what one would expect is that the next Pasuk should speak about the command given to Adam HaRishon, right, that he's allowed to eat from all the trees except for the Eitz HaDaas. In fact, actually, if we skip over 5 Pesukim to Pasuk Tezayin, then in fact, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam Leimor, Hashem Elokim commands man and tells him, Bikol Eitz HaGan Ochol Teichel, you can eat from all the trees of the Gan, all the trees of Gan Eden, Eitz HaDaas Teverol Leisoichel Mimeno, but you cannot eat from the Eitz HaDaas. However, what happens is that we have an insertion of 5 Pesukim that speak about a bifurcation of rivers. And this insertion doesn't really seem to have anything to do with the creation of Adam HaRishon, his placement in Gan Eden, and the command not to eat from the Etzadas. So in Pasuk Tes, after the Torah tells us that man has been placed in the Gan Eden, it says Vayasmach Hashem. It says, I'm sorry, in Pasuk Tes, Pasuk Yud. It says, "But now Yetzim Eden, a river comes out of Eden, comes from Eden, comes forth from Eden." Lahashkei says, Vahashkei says Gan, right, to water the Gan. It's interesting. And now Yetzim Eden is Lashon Hayve, the present tense. Umisham Yeparet, and from there it splits off. Vahayol Abor Roshim, and splits up into four directions. And then the Torah details the rivers and their names in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Shema Echad Pishon, the name of one river is Pishon, was service called Eretz Chavila. It goes around, right, the Eretz Chavila, Asher Shem Azov, the place where there was gold, Uzava Oratz Hitoiv, Shem Abadoilach, Eved Hashoyam. It speaks about the gold to be found in Eretz Chavila. It speaks about different stones. And then Pasuk Gimel, Shem Ranah Hasheni Gichon, the second river is Gichon, was service called Eretz Kush, that goes around Eretz Kush. Shem Ranah Hashlishi Chidekel, the third river is Chidekel, Ohoilech Kidmas Oshuv Anaravihu Pras. And the fourth river is Pras. In other words, the Torah is coming to tell us geographical details which don't, in a certain sense, have really anything to do with the continued narrative. In other words, the creation of Adam HaRishon is placed in the Gan Eden, and the tzibui, the commandment not to eat from the Eitz HaDaas, right, should constitute one narrative continuum. The appeared insertion of these psukim doesn't seem to have anything to do with the story, and it's quite irrelevant. Now, in fact, actually, not to mention the fact is that one of these details important in any sense. So, in fact, actually, the Netziv speaks about this in detail. So, in Pasuk Yud, V'nal Yetze Me'eden U'Misham Yiparet. So says the Netziv, Hine Ein Safek. There's no doubt. Sha'inyan Hu Kamashmo. The Netziv says certainly, right? We have to understand this literally. In other words, the Torah is not coming to tell us about anything but actual rivers and actual geography. But nonetheless, says in itself, from this we can in fact actually learn about halichas oilim v'tachlis chayodam. In other words, the purpose of man in the world. And halichas oilim means something about the world. In other words, from these rivers we can learn something about the world and something about the man's the purpose of chayi adam, of people's lives. But in fact, actually, the psukim have to be understood literally. The beloy zeh, because we have nothing to learn from this. There's nothing to learn from this. My naf gemina, what does make a difference? What does make a difference if there are four rivers emerging from Gan Eden? These four rivers, constitute the entire, are these four rivers the basis of the entire world? There are many rivers in the world that exist in the world that don't come from Eden. I hear the Netziv understood that the world is a lot larger than Eden. Okay, interesting. And in addition, says the Netziv, in fact, actually, people living in this part of the world don't even know they're coming from Eden. Says the Netziv, geographers. The Netziv is actually saying that if you would ask a geographer, he wouldn't even tell you this geographical fact or this fact about, this biological fact about the river is. It must be that these rivers actually somehow go underneath the ground and then they emerge. So therefore, what is the Torah coming to tell me? So the Tzim basically is telling us that these matters are to be understood literally, but for that reason, they appear to be not irrelevant, but in fact, it's not even something that we can actually use in our lives because they haven't been identified. Okay, so now, so certainly says that the Tziv is coming to teach me something. Now, the Tziv, interesting, brings a Gemara in Bechoros. Once again, this is the Shita of the Tziv, the Zitzin Leibin. In other words, we're supposed to understand the Chumash and the context of Chazal. that Chazal are going to give us an insight into the background, or the way we're supposed to, the background within which the psukim are being said. This, in this case, is going to be the geological background, the natural background. And as a result of this, the Netziv is going to go on at length and tell us what, in fact, actually we could learn about the purpose of human lives, as he mentioned earlier. Now, the Netziv brings a Gemara in Becholos, right? The Gemara in Becholos, Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph, and there, the Chazal tell us, the Netziv paraphrases Chazal, that the three rivers are actually lower, lamata from pras, mizchalta mimeno. In other words, if a person looks at the psukim, one would understand that there is, in fact, actually a now Yetzimi Eden, that's the original river that comes from Eden, and that now, in fact, bifurcates into four rivers, right? The four rivers are Pishon, then Gichon, Chidekel, and Fras. That is what the psukim are literally saying. However, according to Chazal, it appears Chazal are telling us that in fact, actually, that for us, right, is the now that exists before they bifurcate. Right? In other words, the now that comes from Eden is actually for us. And for us, or pras, right, in fact, separates into three larger rivers. In other words, even though in the Chumash we have the original river that's Yetzimi Eden and separates into four rivers, one of whom is Pras, that's what the Chumash appears to be saying. That's from the river side. But from the Chazal side, the last river, which is mentioned, which is Pras, that's actually the original river. That's actually the original river, and Pras actually bifurcates into three rivers, which are Pishon, Gichon, and Chidekel.
And the Pras no longer, there's no Pras, there's only three rivers.
No, but there's only three rivers that emerge from Pras. There was Pras is the original river.
Pras continues as well, there's four at the end? Or
well, Pras is the original river from which the three rivers emerge. The three rivers emerge from Pras. Okay? That's what, Pras is the source of all these three rivers. Okay? So it's interesting is that what are Chazal doing? What Chazal are doing is that they're taking the fourth river, which is mentioned in the Chumash, which is the river which splits off from this main river, which from Eden. In fact, actually, it would appear that maybe there's a symmetric bifurcation of the rivers. But in any case, it's the fourth river, the last river that's mentioned. And what Chazal are telling us is that this last river, Pras, that's actually the original river, right? Which brought forth, or from which emerged, the other three rivers. In other words, what we're doing is we're making a 180-degree turn, almost like a Moivis strip. You have a concept in mathematics called the Moivis strip that you begin with, what's the type of a manifold, in which you begin with one set of coordinates, and then there's a twist, and then all of a sudden the coordinates are turned around. So in other words, it's as if, according to Chazal, Chazal understood the Chumash is, the Chumash is actually giving us two acts of reference, two directions, or two perceptions, or two references, which are the opposite of each other. In other words, if a person is at the original river, it's as if Paras is branching off at the very, very end, but if a person is from the Paras side, it's as if the other rivers are, there's a reversal of time and space, as if they, in fact, actually reverse causality, a reverse perception, or a symmetrical, a mirrored perception, that Pras is the original river. There's a Moivis strip which Pras actually connects into the original river that Yetzimi Eden, and the three rivers emerge from Pras. Very interesting, I won't call it an optical illusion, but an interesting conceptual, philosophical, and literary I don't call it an illusion, but an interesting way in which Chazal understood the geographical and natural content of the rivers. Yeah.
For those of us who don't know Shas, Presumably, Chazal does not know the Red Sea. What's the context in Bukharas for this?
And the Gemara, I think it says bringing. I think it's an Agada Ten Shas. It's an Agada in Bukharas.
Okay,
now. Right? I think in Bukharas. Okay, man, it could possibly be speaking about Gvoice. Mm-hmm. He was speaking about voice, right? It's Gemara in the Dorim, I know for sure. Mm-hmm. It's about voice too. In any case, like this, because the Gemara there, the Gemara in the Dorim, it's like voice too. We don't have a shas here that the Gemara speaks about that that rivers, if they're coming from Pras, there's an afkamina whether they're matara b'ashvoyin or matara b'zeichlin. So the Gemara in the Dorim, Gemara in the voice too. I think maybe b'chayus too. Then hey, okay, fine now. Says the Netziv, is that there are four types of people. And these four types of people receive spiritual nourishment, or tannu. In other words, the Netziv says that we're referring here to the tannu, the spiritual nourishment, or the spiritual pleasure that people receive in this world. This is, of course, not the ultimate spiritual pleasure, the tanu of the people who get the next world. It seems to be the closest thing in this world that we could say there's an apprehension of a spiritual pleasure. And it seems says that there are four types of people. And he lists these four types of people, and somehow the naharis, actually the main nahar, which is pras, is going to be actually tamni chachamim. Right? Those people who collect intellectually with the Torah. But there are other people too who serve different functions, and either people who are involved, people who amass wealth, politics, economics, people who do chesed for other people, maybe political leaders, people, and people who are meant to serve. He speaks about Noshim, Avodim, etc. It's going to be Eretz Kush. But what the Tziv says interesting is that the Tziv understands here that by using Chazal, the Zitzenleben of Chazal is that the notion of the rivers, I won't call it a metaphor, I think it's a poor word, but somehow the notion of the rivers, maybe in the Kasserian sense, a symbol, is the way in which we understand man's connection with spirit from a transcendental spirituality, and that this transcendental spirituality, right, connects to man on different levels. Each person has a different type of spiritual connection by which he connects with something which is higher from him. This is this spiritual ruchnius, which in fact is not something that we can place within the natural world. The only thing we could use is a natural metaphor. In other words, the only thing that we can describe this is to use a self-conscious natural metaphor of rivers. If you look in the Zaya, the Idris, the rivers actually are used by the Zaya, in fact, actually to describe the different worlds, right? Of course, it's not a shiur in Kabbalah, but in other words, clearly the notion of a river which brings forth life, from which other rivers emerge, is the closest thing that we can used as a way of understanding the notion of spiritual apprehension, which gives a person spiritual pleasure, and this spiritual apprehension actually can be expressed on four different levels. It can be apprehended on four different levels. That's what the Tziv is saying. Okay? No. So I want to claim the following thing. I'm not giving a shield. Right? I want to play the following thing. What emerges from the commentary of the Netziv, this is one who explained. What emerges from the commentary of the Netziv is that the quote unquote insertion, or the supposed insertion of these psukim, Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, right, these five psukim, is actually coming. So, in other words, life is imitating Chumash. In other words, the Chumash is self-consciously expressing itself on the level of metaphor and symbol, in order that I have to understand that man's relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu is two dimensional. There's mitzvah the Kaddish Baruch Hu, mitzvah man. We've spoken about this many times in the other Shi'urim. But in other words, here, what the Chumash is saying is that when I speak, I could speak about the creation of man from, let's call it, the God point of view. And that's Kaddish Baruch Hu, Hashem Elokim creates man. And the details of the creation of man and all the steps of man, and man becomes a nefesh chaya. But there's a dimension which, in fact, we have to understand that from man's, in other words, God, we can describe God's acts of creation, but ultimately God in and of himself is beyond man. And when the only thing that we can do is describe God from man's point of view. In other words, we can describe a Kadosh Baruch Hu as a creator. There's a Kadosh Baruch Hu in and of himself, but Kadosh Baruch Hu in himself is beyond man's ability to apprehend. So this can only be understood from man's subjective point of view, from the man point of view. I can describe God's acts, but in the failure, in the admitted failure of trying to describe God in and of himself, I have to try to understand from man's point of view, as man receives what man receives from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the Torah is doing. The Torah is shifting panoramas. The Torah is shifting dimensions. And the Torah does this. And in fact, this shift of dimensions is, I want to claim, the Torah's way of telling us that man has a Tzelem Elokim. In other words, the Torah is not going to make a detailed description of man's Tzelem Elokim, because man's Tzelem Elokim is something which, in a certain sense, is beyond our ability, man's mental ability, man's intellectual ability, to describe objectively. All the Torah can speak about is use, in fact, actually a type of a metaphor from which we're supposed to understand that this is a metaphor which, in fact, describes man's relationship with spiritual pleasure. Man's relationship with something which is actually transcends him. So in fact, I think that it's Siv hit it exactly on the point. The purpose of the Chumash is to present something which ostensibly, even though it's real, it's physically in the world, nonetheless, it's something from which we're supposed to understand to be not only a geographical fact, but something by which we could use as a symbol in order to express man's relationship with the Kaddosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, this man, this viewpoint from the standpoint of man, is man, actually this in fact describes or actually gives us the feeling, the activity of our relationship with Kaddosh Baruch Hu from our point of view. And as a result, of course, was our relationship with Kaddosh Baruch Hu from our point of view? That's to learn the Chumash. That's the Darshan to understand, apprehend the Chumash. And that's what the Tziv does. The Tziv takes actually the words of the Chumash. He speaks about Zav, he speaks about Pishoin, he speaks about Gichoin, and looks for all interesting creative understandings of the words, of the rivers, as indicating these four levels of man's connection with spiritual pleasure. So in other words, what if you would ask the Netziv, where is it mentioned in the Chumash that man gets a Tzelem Elokim, means man's connection with that which is transcendent, which is ultimately cannot be apprehended? The Netziv would say the Chumash, this is something the Chumash cannot detail. It's only that man can understand for himself as he tries to decipher and understand the depth of the Chumash itself. That's in the terms of fact actually doing that, but in search of these pesukim. Oh, now it's very, very interesting that, and after that, once again, after the Chumash has done that, man has a Tzelem Elokim. Of course, the most important aspect of man's Tzelem Elokim is that he can relate to a Kadosh Baruch Hu's tzivuyim, relate to a Kadosh Baruch Hu's commandments. And in fact, actually, that's what comes next in the Chumash. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him the commandment that he can eat. We call it Eitzagan, Ochel Teichel. And also, too, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, the Kadosh Baruch Hu forbids him to eat from the Eitz Hadas, Tov V'Ra, From the day that you eat from the Hadas, Mois Tomas, you will surely die. And in other words, so therefore now man becomes that creation, which in fact is given free will to obey or disobey the command of the Kodesh Baruch. I'm not going to enter into the Machlokes Rishonim, what was exactly Adam's Bechir at that point. But nonetheless, certainly, man becomes a commandable creation. In other words, a creation. Now, what's interesting is, I want to make a note of the fact is that, and of course this has been noted, you know, for hundreds of years already, that the term that describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, describes God, in Perek Aleph, of course, is Elohim. And the term that describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Perek Beis is Hashem Elohim, Yudke Vavke Elohim. And of course, there's, you know, I mean, much has been written on this, right? Both Kodesh and Chol. But I want to actually make a few remarks, I think, what actually going to be relevant in the upcoming Shiurim. You know, most people, you ask people, what's Elohim, what's Yud Kei Vav Kei? Most people tell you, well, Elohim is Din, and Yud Kei Vav Kei is Chesed, and of course, different Mefarshim will basically write things which are, a Gilgal of biblical criticism. There's the God of Din, the God of Chesed. We're not into that, at least. That's not, in my opinion, not the Dach of the Netziv. However, in any case, in light of what the Tziv is saying, and actually we're going to see that the Tziv actually is going to speak about this in Parshas Noach, is that when man describes God as the creator of nature, the creator of the world, you know, when we look at God as objectively creating the world, then the Torah seems to use Elohim. We'll speak about this in light of also when Kodesh Baruch Hu speaks to man too. But in other words, certainly in Perek Aleph, Kodesh Baruch Hu is the creator, is written as Elohim. Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Tziv is going to speak about this in Parshas Noach, and we'll speak about this at another Shia. Yud Kei Vav Kei represents what we'd call God's personal relationship with man. In other words, man's relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. A little bit from the man's side. Now, what's Elohim is a little bit from the God side. Actually, there's three levels. There's the God-God side, which we can understand. There's the God side, which we can describe. God is the creator. And then there's, of course, the God-man side. But the God-man side is actually the flip side of the God-God side. The failure of man to reach the God-God side results in the God-man side, which is man's ethical and personal relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, with God, the God of Hashkacha, etc., etc. Now, so therefore it's natural that, of course, the first Perek of Bereishis only speaks about creation. God is the creator. So therefore the term Elohim is used. In Perek Beis, we're making a very interesting change, a turn. We're making a change of paradigm. Where, in fact, we go from Elohim to Yud Kei Vav Kei. As such, right? Because, for example, when is this change of paradigm taking place? It's actually taking place that after we describe the creation of Adam HaRishon, by Adam Nefesh Chaya, then this change is taking place, as I mentioned, when the Chumash details the four rivers, right? Pasuk Pesukim Yod, Yod Aleph, Yod Beis, Yod Gimel, and Yod Dalet. And then all of a sudden, Vayitzav Hashem Elohim. Well, actually, you could say the Kodesh Baruch Hu places Adam, places him in Gan Eden, and then in Pasuk Tezayin already, Vayitzav Hashem Elohim, Ala Adam Leimu, Vekol Eitzakat, Ochol Teichol. Already, there's now a relationship, a personal, ethical relationship created between man and God. So in other words, so Perek Beis is the transfer from the Elohim mode to the Yud Kei Vav Kei mode. Therefore, it's fitting that the word for HaKadosh Baruch Hu used in Perek Beis is Hashem Elohim. Hashem Elohim is telling us that the Chumash is changing, or in a certain sense, undergoing the transformation from the God mode, to the God-man mode, and the Chumash alerts us to this by the yuchus of Hashem Elokim. In other words, man is not only a creation who's created by God, but he's a creation who actually has now a relationship with God, an ethical relationship with God, and then only once this change is made. Of course, this is an irreducible dichotomy of two dimensions, God and God-man, and therefore it can only be expressed by the nahalis, the rivers that emerge from Eden. It's only that man himself can discover this God-man relationship through his understanding of the Chumash in the Derech of the Netziv. Okay, yeah.
Doesn't the Netziv speak this out explicitly, or this is Rabbi Tripitz?
I think this is Rabbi Tripitz on the Netziv.
I mean, it's mashma, there's no...
Right. There's no question about it. What you're getting is the Netziv ala Meir Tripitz.
Okay.
But I think, in any case, I think we're going to stop over here. And the Meir Hashem, we're actually going to continue the next year on these two aspects of God are actually reflecting two aspects of man. But Mirzan, that will be for the next year. From an undisclosed location in Shlaimir HaKodesh, the world cult of.